Holy is he. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 Jesus, Yeshua, the one and only. There is no other. The great and mighty King, Master of the universe, King of Israel, God of Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and my dad, by the way, my beloved, he is the one and only God. And there is no other. And Lord, we will have no other gods before you. We will have no other gods but you. We will not serve the gods of this earth. We will not bow down to the idols. We will never do it. Let your hand be upon us, that we could live lives that are utterly pleasing to you all the days of our lives. Hallelujah. Well, we have too many people to sit in a circle, so we're just going to pretend we're sitting in a circle. Because I want this to be casual. God is going to do some things. It's a little bit different. Those that came Wednesday night, it was like God hit us with some fireballs and gave us some vision of what it would be like to live in the glory and for his glory. And so God has kind of been doing some different things throughout the week. But I saw what I've been seeing a lot of is people that really desire to live a life that's sanctified unto God, holy unto him. They want to, but they're broken. And when we talk about it, it only hurts because they think, I want that so bad, I love him so much, but my life has been destroyed by the enemy. So I feel like God wants to just, we're just going to kind of follow him where he goes and by the Holy Spirit. You know, you can't plan for these matters, right? You can pray, and you can listen, but you really can't plan. Now, I know we've read this, talked to you about this scripture before, but this seems to be our key scripture this weekend. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. We actually have a child in here that was true, don't we? We have a baby in here that doctor said, we're not going to let you have this kid. Isn't that right? Am I saying it right? But the Lord said something else. And now we have this God baby that's so beautiful and so godly. I mean, so anointed. We love that child. All right. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. Now this is you, okay? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Now listen. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. So even before you were conceived in the womb, there was some words written about you in God's book. So there was a design that is perfect. Your books, your words are not the same as mine. You are uniquely made. You're not like anyone else on earth. And if we could grasp who we really are, the seed that God put in you, when you were born again, and we talked about it last night, some of you weren't here, but last night we talked about how in our flesh took on the death nature of Adam, right? One man, by one man's sin passed upon all men, and because of that, really, death passed on all men. So we had this nature that was corrupted, right? So we weren't doing too well. But the moment you were born again, if you said the sinner's prayer and truly meant it, there was a transaction in heaven where God took the package, or I would call it a seed of who you are called to be, and placed it. It's perfect, it's holy, right? It's birthed in heaven and wasn't tainted, right? Because it was before you were born. Could never be tainted. So that's your born-again spirit. It's your true identity. That's who you really are. And the problem with us is we don't always understand who we are in the spirit, so we judge ourselves and each other by our flesh. Okay, so we judge each other and we judge ourselves, and we don't judge like God does if we're not listening to God. And so a lot of times people beat themselves up, or they have a superiority complex, and neither is God. And so God said it to me like this: if you could see who you are in the spirit, which takes some doing, right? You have to spend some time to God to understand, because you won't look like anyone else. You won't look like your favorite preacher. And that's designed with a purpose. It's intentional. Because you have a purpose in this earth that no one else can really do properly. And I want to say this with a great deal of love, but I believe that most Christians never truly find their whole purpose. Many never even see a part of it. But God is speaking with a great deal of love. He wants you to know that he loves you. He has an everlasting love for you. And what he wants to do is begin to help you understand how to walk with him in a close-knit relationship, so that you walk with him and talk with him by the way, you know, as you go. When you get to know Jesus, I think that some people got to know him in a church, said the prayer, right? Check that off, got that done. And their relationship with God became a series of good sermons, okay? But there's something higher that God is calling us to. Remember, I talked about it last night. People will come to him and they'll say, I did this in your name, I did that in your name, I prophesied, I did all this great stuff. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And that word is a word of, I didn't intimately know you. In other words, what he's saying is, it is more important to me to have you close to my heart, walking with me in relationship. And some people might say in that sweet intimacy with Christ, with Jesus Christ, rather than you doing all this great stuff for me, right? He can raise up rocks to do great stuff for him. And we've seen some rocks that have done some great stuff for him. But God wants to begin to unveil who you are to you. And it isn't so you can do great stuff for him. Like I said, he doesn't need that. He wants to bless you. Because there's nothing more fulfilling. When you start to figure out who you really are in him, from him, you begin to have this abiding confidence that nothing on earth can ever give you. Knowing who you are in him, you know, not just reading that you're complete in him, but knowing where you sit in him gives you such a joy. It's like finding the only place. Do you ever put a jigsaw puzzle together and it won't? You can try to jam them in the wrong place, but if it doesn't fit right, there's a place for you in him. In him we live and move and have our being. There's a place for you that is a part of him. It's literally a part of his spirit. Now that sounds strange, but the Bible says he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So your born-again spirit is actually part of his spirit. That's a stretch for us, isn't it? But it's a fact, and the problem we've had is we haven't understood these matters. And sometimes what God has shown me is that people are hurting so bad. And I used to be one of those people. I despaired of life. My life was wretched. It was really bad. I wanted out. Thank you very much. But I thank God that God didn't let me get out of it. Because he saw, and here's what he would do. I think he wants to do this for you today. When times were dark, it seemed so dark, it seemed like nothing would ever be good again. And it didn't seem like one thing in my life was bad. It seemed like everything had been destroyed. And I fervently wanted to be with him, to serve him, and to give back in some way, because he'd given me so much, and I had no ability to do it. And I was in a situation that absolutely forbid it. And I saw no way out. But the Holy Spirit, every day, for several years, would remind me of why I was here. Now, I didn't fully understand it at that time, but I knew I was here for a reason. I knew I was here to do something, and you are too. And sometimes when we go through stuff, it's easy to lose sight of the good things God is calling us to because we're so much in pain. I saw a person the other day. You've been through too much, okay? You know, our heart can only take so much, right? And we start to, just out of survival, do you ever meet a kid that just went through too much? And they'll start to shut down. Or they'll start to manifest behaviors that are really survival techniques. And we try to send them to, you know, people try to send them to therapy and stuff. But the fact is, they're surviving what kids were never meant to go through. Okay? Now what happens? Those people grow up. And they're still a little bit crippled and broken in their soulish realm, in their flesh realm. And God wants to heal that, because some of you, we put a picture of that stairway, that relationship stairway. And I could feel when I prayed for people that some people just were grieved. They wanted so much to be with the Lord and feel his love and acceptance. Do you know there's people in this room that you know in your head and you can quote that God loves you? And you can even say, I believe God loves me, but in your heart, you have not been able to believe that he loves you. You've believed he loves other people, but he doesn't love you. God wants to peel that off you today, because that is a lie from the enemy that has wrapped around your soul. I'm not talking to everybody. So you'll hear me say things and you'll think, well, that's not me. That's okay. You're not the only one in the room. I have a favorite preacher, and I turned to my sister and I said, this guy is such a great man. This guy really knows his Bible. He's a great teacher. And she turned him on and she said, I feel like he's yelling at me. I said, he's talking about a billion people, you know, not yelling at you. So don't take it personally. If it's not you, just let it pass by. But someone, we've seen people healed when God speaks, okay? And God cares about the one. Sometimes he'll leave the 99 in a service, and people, what's he talking about? He's talking to one person that he loves, and he cares enough about them to go pull them out of the pit, right? Jesus was forever helping people that were crushed, broken, wounded. If you want to know what God is like, read about Jesus. He cared. You know what the Bible says? True religion and undefiled before God is to look after widows and orphans in their distress. If we have a real heart for God, you know, we'll stop being so pompous about our deal and start to look for somebody that's a mess or hurting or wounded and try our best to get what God is saying to them. Because God can heal them. We can't, but he can. I've seen him do it. And so right now, God, there's people in here. If you just quietly say, that's me, Lord, just, you know, no one has to hear you. Just quietly, Lord, that's me. You know, you feel broken. You feel like because of it, it has caused you to not be able to enter in like other people. You see other people worship, and you want to do it. You see other people that feel so whole, and you want that, but it's been too hard because there's this, I can see this lie of the enemy. It's like a weed with a long root, and it's grown tight around your heart. And the Lord says, in the name of Jesus, I command that to loosen, come out, and never bother them again. Because of what Satan has done in some of your lives, you have thought that maybe God doesn't really care. I see God taking his hand like this and just pushing it aside and saying, you've never known anyone like me. I'm not like any human you've ever known. Humans hurt you. They don't even mean to sometimes. Sometimes they're doing their best. But sometimes humans have done things to humans that are truly demonic. Sometimes humans have done things to humans that are cruel, unthinking, unfeeling. Sometimes they don't even mean to, but it happens. And then the person that bears the brunt of that is left limping in the, you know, in their soulish realm, right? God showed me, you know, if people come into church and they're all, you know, put together and they've got it together and they know how to smile, and aren't we good at presenting a great face? And even some people teach us how to do that. But sometimes we're, you know, he showed me a picture of a man that just really, he looked like he had it together. But God showed me what he looked like in the realm of the spirit, and he was all just broken. He was crippled up, just bent over, just like broken throughout his body. But it wasn't his body, it was his soul. But he didn't feel like he could tell anybody, because some people in the church would just say, well, hallelujah, I remember when they used to do this to me, stand on the word, sister. Well, I didn't really know how to do that yet. I would think, well, thank you, that was really helpful and not very understanding at all. You know, thank God somebody came along and said, I don't know how to help you, but I will pray. Woman came along and she prayed me through 4 years of stuff, or I wouldn't be alive. Thank God for her. So we need to be gracious with one another. I believe God wants me to talk a little bit about filters. Sometimes we hear through filters of what we were taught when we were young. Sometimes we were raised to believe a certain thing. And I'm just going to go somewhere that's forbidden. I'm going to do it anyway, because I feel like the Lord wants to talk about this. I went to a black church for 10 years. I was one of the very few white people. One of the best teachers on the face of the planet, really knew the Word of God. And God told me to go there, and I learned so much. But one of the things God taught me, I went in thinking, people were all the same, you know. But what I began to realize was that there were different cultures, and I noticed I was never invited to any of the parties, and I started to think, don't they like me? Well, they did, but they knew I wouldn't get the jokes. I wouldn't understand any of the stuff. Finally, somebody felt sorry for me, invited me to a party. And I was like, oh, now I get why. Because the culture was so different. But we're raised with these cultural ideas, and sometimes they're not really true. And Satan loves to feed on any kind of discriminations, whether it's race, right? He loves to feed on division. He loves division, the enemy does. Because if he can get you to feel divided, feel separated, feel rejected, Satan, listen, rejection is a gift from the devil. And it makes you feel like, I don't fit in here. I remember I had to be delivered of the dumb thing. I didn't even know I had it. And I walked into this place where the presence of God was so strong. I'd never been in a place outside my living room, honestly, that it had so much presence of the King. I walked through the doors and went, oh. And I don't know what they preached. I don't know who was in the band. I don't know who preached. I don't know anything. I went in the back and hid alone with God and just hid behind this pillar and laid down in the presence. And God delivered me. Because when I went in, I started, you know, when you get in the presence real strong, your issues will start to manifest. You start acting weird, and you think, why am I acting like this? Why do I feel like this? Your emotions start going wing, wang, you know. And because I wasn't delivered, my emotions started going, I don't fit in here. You know, they don't even know me. I was from Chicago. I was like, I had to fly, you know, way up into Canada. They didn't even know me, but here I'm feeling rejection and feeling sad, and it wasn't even true. They didn't even know me. Why would they reject me? They don't know me. You got to know somebody to reject them. And so finally I said, God, what's wrong with me? Because I was acting weird, feeling weird, had a horrible night, came up here to get blessed, having the worst night of my life. And I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? He said, you're just being delivered from rejection. Oh, well, could you speed it up? Because I really want to have a good time here. I mean, I came to enjoy your presence. But the thing is, there's people in here today that God is setting you free from that lie. See, you know how Satan gets in is through a lie we've believed or a filter we've adapted. That is how Satan hooks on to us, is when we believe one of his lies. It's the only thing he has. Remember, he was stripped clean by Jesus. Jesus stripped him of all his authority. You know, if he had any real authority over you, you'd be dead. Listen, if Satan had any real authority, he'd have killed you and he'd have killed me too, right? So what has he got? The only thing he has, the only tool in his toolbox is deception. If he can trick you into thinking his thoughts, and you don't even know it's him. Deception, and the reason it's called deception is you think it's true. So instead of knowing that it's a stronghold or principality saying, nobody wants you around here, you'll never amount to anything because, wait, your dad said that 50 years ago. You know, or you know, Janet shared that she was told she would never be artistic. I was told, you don't want anything. I wanted to go to college, and my two interests were music and math. And I was told, oh, you don't want to do music or math, you know. Can't make any money in those. You don't want to. And then they said these words, you don't want to teach. And I thought, oh, I don't want to teach. So for years, I thought I didn't want to teach. I got into a music ministry, and I knew they needed to understand some things about the music, so I wrote a little course, and I had a blast teaching. I realized, I was in my 30s, wherefore I realized that was a lie I believed. How many lies have you believed that have allowed a stronghold to shortchange you of who you are and what you were called to do? And guess what? He always attacks, well, I think usually attacks, the very thing you're called to do. If you're called to help people, he'll tell you, oh, nobody wants you around, right? What's he going to do? He's going to attack with deception. He's going to try to get you to come in agreement with it, begin to speak it over yourself, begin to disqualify yourself, because he cannot disqualify you. He can't, because God has already written these things about you. But what Satan tries to do is to get you to think, well, I could never do that. Well, I could never do this. Guess what? I'm doing it. See, but it took some years of God telling me, you don't have to believe that lie. I was horrifically shy. God said, no, that's not shyness. That's the fear of man, and you need to get set free. Oh, because how can you preach if you're afraid of people? How can you preach something hard if people will be mad at you? So he had to get me whole enough that I really didn't care if they liked it or not. I would say what I had to say. You know, that took some doing. But he is able. Some of you are being called to do things, and in your heart, you already have the desire, but with your mouth, you've disqualified yourself because of what you believe, or the false belief systems in your soul, or the filters through which you see the church, or through which you see people, but especially the filters through which you see yourself. I think did we talk about the mirror of heaven in here? Yeah, I don't remember if that. We don't know what we preached to her. We were doing an immersion meeting some years ago, and I said, this is a really strange word, but someone in here is going to be allowed to see themselves in the mirror of heaven. And Lori, being Lori, she takes every word in the room. You know, she's like a word. I started to notice, you're cheating. Because you get, you know, every healing, every, you know. Well, she knew how to grab them. She's like, nobody else wants it, I'll take it, you know. But what happened is a few weeks went by and she was taken up. And I don't remember the whole story, but you were put on a mountain and Jesus showed you the mirror, yourself in the mirror. And I said, when she started telling me the story, I said, stop right there, let me guess. Based on the word of God, which is the mirror of heaven. You may not have a heavenly experience where you look in a mirror, but when you look in the word of God, you can see who you really are if you choose to believe it. And so she saw in the mirror of heaven, I said, let me guess. You saw power, you saw compassion, you saw the love of God, you saw everything that Jesus is, but in you. She said, that's right. And I said, and what you were seeing was not just you, it's us in the spirit. That's who we are in the spirit. That's who God made us to be in your born again spirit, right? And so she got a revelation from that, but we should all be able to get that same revelation from the word of God. If you know, Jesus is the Word made flesh. I might also say the Word is heaven in printed form. So if you say, I want to go to heaven, you can. You read, get a hold of the Word of God and read what it says and just stop and close your eyes and begin to imagine. Think about the seven spirits before the throne, the fires. Think about the coals on the altar. Don't just read by, oh, amen, that's nice. We're talking about real hot coals. And if you ever really encounter them, they burn. In a good way, they purge, right? But you can encounter heaven through the word of God. Boy, am I off where we were going. God wants to set us free from the filters and the lies. You know what? God has placed no limit on how far you can go in him. He desires his children to manifest him in the earth. In fact, does not the Bible say the whole earth groans waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God? What's that talking about? See, in you, in your born-again spirit, there is the seed of holiness. He who knew no sin, we did it last night, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So inside you, not your flesh, our flesh stinks, Paul said it, my flesh dwells no good thing, not in your soulish realm, but in your born-again spirit, there is this holy thing, and I believe it relates very much to the scripture I read, the words that were written about you before you were born, before you ever had a chance to sin. Now, that is a seed. It contains, just like an acorn contains a mighty oak. But a lot of acorns get thrown out on the ground, but do they all become big oaks? Some don't even give birth, right? Because they're not tended to. They're not watered. They're not dealt with. The area around them isn't cultivated. There isn't weeding going on, right? There's others that spring up and they go a little way and they never go further. But there's some that shoot up into these powerful, mighty oaks. What did Jesus say about the kingdom of heaven? It's like a little seed. Think about it. The kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is like a little seed that grows up and grows up and grows up into this mighty tree that is so big and so fruitful that the birds of the air can come and rest in its branches. In other words, people will be able to come. You don't even have to sometimes go help people. They come and start pulling fruit, right? When you're a tree that's bearing fruit. And so what has to happen, we have to tend that which is inside. For too long, we've tended our outside. It took me 10 minutes to put on makeup to come here. Because you don't want to see me without my eyebrows, okay? Trust me on that. But let me say this. It isn't about how I look on the outside. That's not going to matter in heaven. And a true seer, Lori's a seer, she can't even see what color your hair is. It's weird. She sees us as God sees us. It's a gift from God. It's related to discerning of spirits. She'll probably teach you a little about it a bit later. I don't know. But God sees us completely different than we see ourselves. And his desire is for you to see us and yourself as he does. Now, does that mean we don't strive to be changed? Of course, more than ever. Because it's the grace of God that leads us to repentance. It's not the grace of God that says you don't have to. It's the grace of God that leads us to repentance, right? So part of this is as we begin to deal with this seed, right? Care for it, water it in prayer, water it with the word, water it in prayer, water it with the word. Remember the story about the master who came, he said, I'm cutting down this tree. I'm just cutting it down. It doesn't bear fruit. And the guy said, the gardener said, oh, please, sir, give me another year. Let me fertilize around it. We need to be tending to that which God has placed in us. Instead of worrying about what everybody at church thinks about you, or how you're, you know, however, you know, if they like your every little thing, that happens all the time. Jesus, they hated Jesus without a cause, and he was perfect. So it's kind of, he said, if they did it to me, they'll do it to you. Kind of a nice way of saying, get over it. It's part of the deal. You know, those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's a thrilling Bible promise. So we have to become mature enough to get past what people think, because most of the church doesn't really know what's going on anyway. We love them, we bless them when we try to help them, but a lot of people don't really know what the whole thing is about. See, the purpose of the thing. Do you ever buy a new game? And the first thing you do is read the instructions, and the first thing it said is the object of the game. Have you ever opened your instructions and seen that the object of the game, right, the object of your life, what is the purpose of your life? Paul talked about it. He said, I fought the good fight. I ran my race, and there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he had just said, my time is getting close, right? He saw his time was getting real near. And he basically said, I did it. He didn't say, oh man, I still got more to do. Oh, I wish I could have gone in that. I wish I could have written one more book. No, he said, I did it. Ready to go. When I read that, I thought, I want to know what I'm here to do. Because you can't say that if you don't know what your race was. You can't say that if you don't know what the good fight was. And you can't say it if you don't know that you've pressed through all the garbage that life throws at you on this earth. Right? Stuff happens to everybody. Everybody, sooner or later, has some abuse. Everybody, sooner or later, has issues with people. Everybody, sooner or later, has to contend. But he called us overcomers. He wants us to overcome. We have to overcome. How do you do that? You keep pressing in prayer, in faith, in the word, in prayer, in faith, in the word. You keep pressing in because you have something to contend for. Sometimes we talk about the pearl of great price. You know, some Christians become Christians because they want God to bless them. Well, that's okay. God wants to bless you. But as you grow in God, we should come to a place where our heart becomes converted and we say, you know what, it's not about me. It's about you and about your people. And if it costs me, that's okay. I'm here to help you and help your people. And if I don't look good, that's okay. And if I get persecuted, because is that the heart of Jesus? It cost him everything to purchase us. And if you ask me, we weren't so worth purchasing. While we were ungodly, Christ died for us. While we were stinking and ungodly, Christ died for us. Thank you, Jesus. But he wasn't, this is the neat thing, he wasn't looking at our crummy behavior because he understood. He was looking at us according to Psalm 139. He wasn't looking at you saying, well, you dirty, rotten sinner, you're so bad, I'm gonna die for you. He was saying, I know what you could be. I see who you are in the Spirit. I see who you are without the fall. I see who you are before all that mess in the garden. I see the person I created you to be. But what I'm giving you is the seed of that. It's up to you to develop that. I'll help you. I'll walk with you. I'll build your building with you. I'll set you free, but you got to do it with me. You can't do it without me, and I won't do it without you. People say, oh, God, change me. Well, God is sovereign, but you know what? He's made a decision to let us make our own choices and that he won't override a person's will. So that means if I chose, I could go out and sin. I don't want to, so I don't choose that. But there are Christians all the time who choose the wrong way, and he still loves them, but he doesn't want that for them, and they get clobbered by the enemy. And then they come back and they say, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm so glad you came back, son. Think about the prodigal son. See, God desires his children to live in him, in a relationship that's truly close, close friends, and even come to a place where you may have encounters where you feel like you're inside him. Okay? It's a thing. People say, that's not a thing. It's a thing. You know, is it okay for me to share an encounter? You know, we don't base our doctrine on encounters, do we? We base them on the Word. But I will tell you, when you have an encounter, you'll often see it in the Word. After you have it, you're like, is that scriptural? You're going to have to show me, and he'll take you right to it. Well, I had an encounter where I was in the Father like a baby is in the mother's womb. In him we live and have, move and have our being. It's a place. God is calling us to live not for him in performance. You know, when I was, some of you, my oldest seminar, first set we did was going to a deeper level in God. I was years old. And when I was praying into that seminar, he told me to do it. And I was praying and he gave me a picture of someone who was on earth and they were looking up to heaven, seeing God is in heaven and themselves separated from him on earth. And they were saying, oh God, won't you please help me? The next picture is a person looking into this beautiful home. It's like a fancy, one of those fancy homes with a lit up like sunroom. And there was this party going on, all these beautiful lights, and the person was outside going, I wish I was in that party, feeling separated. And God said, that's not the plan. The plan is in him. The plan is for you to be seated in heavenly places in Christ. The plan is you are complete in him. You say, well, I don't feel complete. Well, that's because you're looking at your outsides. And your outsides and mine stink. Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And we're talking about the apostle that wrote most of the New Testament. But he understood that if he operated by the flesh, it would just be a flop. Did you ever try to give somebody advice in your flesh and it just messes them up more? They can't receive it. They don't understand what you're talking about. They're hearing through filters. They reject it. And then God gives you, 2 weeks later, he gives you a word for them from him. And it makes no sense to you. And you go to them and you say, okay, I know this is a little strange, but I really feel like God said this. And they're like, wah, and they're just set free. You see the difference? Your flesh doesn't have anything for people. But if you can spend time in him and get what people need, it will change their life. And sometimes forever. So it's a different kind of walk. Why do you think it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God? It's not just like a promotion. It's saying when you operate that way, you will be looking and acting like and manifesting things like Jesus did because he was led of the Spirit. I know it's review, but there's some new people here. So sometimes when I decided I don't want to do this anymore, we say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because it feels like every time somebody comes in, you got to start over. I don't think that's a good idea. We know that he was led by the Spirit. I'm going to shake somebody's idea here. When I was young, I used to think, well, of course he did miracles. He was the Son of God. He could just do anything. He could wave his arm and do anything he wanted. But you know what he said? Nope. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. That's the same way as saying, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Now, he was perfect and pure, and he was saying it. What was he really saying? I have limited myself to be just like you. And in my flesh, I can't raise the dead, I can't heal the sick, and I can't open blind eyes. But, he said, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. So he would set himself apart, go hang out with the Father. He'd go away from everybody else. He would pray, probably fast, and he would stay with God until he got these words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I'm pretty sure, only because of the way God deals with us in the Spirit, there were times when he knew ahead, today you're going to meet a man. Going to be a little bitty guy up in the tree, right? Today you're going to meet somebody, and they're going to need a healing, but it's not really a physical healing. It's a devil that needs to be cast out. You deaf and dumb spirit, come out. Person healed. Was it a healing or was it a deliverance? Jesus operated by the power of the Spirit, and he wasn't saying, I'm the Lord God, look at me and worship me. He's saying, here's the key, boys. Here it is. This is how you do it. Now remember, we said that the whole earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now if you didn't see me do this, you wouldn't know I had a big book behind my back. And if I said to you, I have a big book behind my back, you'd go like, well, she might be telling the truth and she might not. Manifestation means to take something that already exists in heaven and bring it into the tangible where you can see it, feel it, and touch it. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, okay? Now with that, think about this. The whole earth groans waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What are the sons of God? That package that's in you waiting to be birthed. Sometimes, you know, this is, God talks to me in funny, you know, he talks to me in pictures. Because, you know, when you have a little kid, here's some pictures. And I understand that better. And so when he was teaching me about the seed thing, for years I knew I was called. And I was in a church where I also knew I would never be allowed to preach, ever. And I also knew he'd called me there. So I figured, I'll be here till Jesus comes. I'll probably never get to preach. Oh, well. But I had this thought. Did you ever have this thought? Why doesn't my pastor know what I'm called to? What a dumb thing. 500 people sitting there. He's supposed to know everybody's calling? Right? How selfish. But I actually thought that. Well, here's the reason. A couple of reasons. One is God will hide it until you are prepared. And not your gifting. You're born with your gifting. But you have to be prepared to house it properly. Your life has to be changed so that you can operate in the gifts and never take the glory or act like you did something, because you didn't. He did. If you did it right. Or was it? Oh, manifestation. So God wants to take that seed which is in you, and he's our co-laborer, right? He wants to assist you to work on it. And some of you, you might not know this, because all you can feel, your emotions have ruled you, right? You've had a lot of pain in your life. That happens. It happens to all of us. It happened to me. But you got to see those as weeds that want to take you out, that want to choke the seed of who you are. Right? Emotions are actually a gift from God. I used to think they were bad, we shouldn't have them. But they are actually a gift. But any gift used the wrong way will destroy you. Okay? There are gifts that, I believe most of the gifts, maybe all, are like a two-edged sword. So some of you know I was married to an evangelist. Evangelists have this gift not to give a rip what you think. Okay? And they will say anything and everything. Some of you knew Edgar. And he said we were thrown out of churches. But you know, that the reason they have that gift is because they can go into the hardest places and not even see that the people are mad. Can't see it. Don't care. We had people come to our house, and pardon the expression, but they just ripped Edgar a new one. They disrespected him. And I was, you know, I don't cry often, but I was weeping. I was so sad. Actually, what are you crying about? I said, I'm just grieved over the way they treat you. He said, it's nothing. I've had a lot worse than that. He didn't care. That was part of his gifting. But the other side of the sword was sometimes he was a little rough with people. Okay? My gifting was the polar opposite. My gifting is I'm very sensitive to people. Well, the downside of that is I know when you're mad. I know when you're cursing me. Okay? I know when you don't like what I preached. Right? So I've had to learn how to manage that sensitivity, and I've had to get whole emotionally. Because if you're, listen, some of you in here are called to carry the presence. And that's your desire. Not all of you. Some of you are called to some other things equally great. There are many callings, and they're all equally great. Even if it's a hidden calling, actually, I think those are greater. Okay? Well, I'd like to go there, but I can't. Some of you have a hidden calling, I'll just say that. People will never see you, and your ministry is to the King privately. The single greatest calling there is. No one will know about it. People might think you're odd.
She's a little odd.
Remember Anna lived in the temple all those years? One of the there will be people at the great wedding. They'll be way in the front. Nobody ever knew them because they spent their life ministering to the King, and we'll be in the back going, I knew her. She prayed with me. Right? It's a special calling, so don't ever think it's less. It's not less. Even if it's not recognized in your church, that's okay. I was called for 10 years to pray for a man that didn't even like me. It was my primary job in the kingdom. And you know what? If I hadn't done that, I couldn't do this. God has to grow us through phases of learning because we're being formed into who we are. And as we're being formed into who we are, we will continually be offered the opportunity to respond in the flesh, choose what we think is right, behave in a way that we want. Weeds. It's weeds. And you know what? As soon as you do that, you will stop there and be stuck and wonder, why didn't I go any further? And God's so gracious, He's not mad at you. They're your weeds, not His weeds. Not mad at you. But if you go to Him and say, why am I stuck? Well, honey, remember when this happened? You know, did you know that you can hold unforgiveness in your heart and not even know it? You say, oh, I forgive him and bless him, hallelujah, and you move on and you forget about it, but deep down you're still, you know. But you don't know it because you said the words and you've justified it. One of the most dangerous things we do is justify things and say, well, that's not really sin. Listen, it doesn't knock God off the throne when you blow it, but it harms you. It stops you from being all you can be. Weeds. God wants to raise you up to where, and listen, even if you're a mature oak, weeds will still try to come. It's not like, I'm done, I'm there, I've arrived. There's no there. There's no there. It's a lifelong journey forever. One guy called me and he said, I think I need to do some emotional healing. He goes, but I just got this one thing and then I think I'm good. I'm thinking, hallelujah, yeah. Hallelujah. Call me in a year, hallelujah. Why am I saying that? Because it's a journey, it's a forever journey of being changed from faith to faith, from glory to glory, growing up in all things into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are you there yet? I'm not. If I don't look in the mirror and see Jesus Christ of Nazareth, then I need to change, don't I? And I don't like this pride thing of people going, I'm good the way I am. No, you're not. And you probably cried out to be changed, but then if anybody dared suggest that there was a little issue, I'm good the way I am, I'm not dealing with that. Oh, I thought you wanted to change. So God is confronting us sometimes, not because he's mad, but because he wants to see you grow mighty. He wants to bless you. He wants to make you a person that has fruit for the nations. Now, you might say, well, you're acting like everybody's called to preach. No. I've told people before, I think the greatest ministry today is ministry to kids. I actually think it's the single most important ministry on the face of the earth right now. Much more important than ministering to adults. You are creating future generations. It's a big deal. I don't care what people think. A lot of churches just shove them off in the back corner with somebody just to, you know, so they won't annoy the service. But, you know, that is, listen, some of them are going to be wiping our butts when we're older. I'm just saying. We need to take care of this generation and see that they know Jesus Christ because they're not going to get it on the TV. That was just free.
She said butts. Oh, my God.
So God wants you to become a master gardener because here's the good thing. When you get really good at weeding and fertilizing and watering, God will allow you, even if your tree isn't visible yet, he'll allow you to start helping other people gently, right? Not telling them what to do, but he'll allow you to go and water them, go and pray for them, go and fertilize them, and help them to grow, right? And listen, nothing pleases Jesus more than when you wash somebody else's feet. Remember Isaiah 58? He said, this is the fast you chose? Really? He said, no. This is the fast I've chosen to loose the bands of wickedness. Let the oppressed go free. Help my people. Help my people. It's not about you and your great calling. In fact, when I went to that anointed place, I had about a 20-minute vision. I laid on the floor, and all I could see was Jesus. He wasn't talking. I just saw him. Jesus. About 10 minutes, Jesus. Thinking, this is great, but not getting the point. You know, I'm one of those people. I want to know the punchline. Pretty soon then I see people, masses of people, and they're all messed up. Still not talking. About 10 more minutes, and I say, oh, I get it. Without a word, I get it. It's him and them, and I'm not even in the picture. My ministry is to minister to him and to them, and that is what's pleasing to Jesus. Not my deal. Not feeling important or spiritual or, ooh, I delivered a word and it was right. Do-da. It's not about that. Did you help them? Some people, there are people, you'll see it in this day, you probably already have people fall away from God through pain and never find their way back. You know what? Sometimes we have to be the one to go to them with a glass of water and they can barely sip it. You know, because if we don't, they may not make it. They may just give up and fail. Thank God for the lady that prayed me through. Thank God she prayed me through. I would have died in that mess. Amen. God is trying to raise up a people with a different kind of heart that aren't in it for their own deal. See, the fall, you know what the fall did to us? It gave us Satan's nature in a way. What's Satan's nature? It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Satan is utterly selfish. He is the picture of complete selfishness. And so people often go after the ministry or being used of God out of wanting to be seen of man. Or maybe I'll feel like now I have God's stamp of approval. God is trying to break that off us and cause us. You've asked to be like Jesus, right? Probably most of you have said, Lord, I want to be like you. But then, remember those stairs I showed you last night, that picture of stairs? One of those stairs is all about converting your heart away from it's all about me to, okay, if I look like an absolute fool. And there's a great man, a revivalist actually. He cried out day and night for revival, day and night. And he said the presence of the Lord started to come upon him. And he said when it came upon him, he's in bed. And he said he lost control of his body. And he said he looked like an absolute spaz. And he said, Lord, I don't know how much of this I can handle. This went on for some nights. And he started to have fears. He said, what if this happens when I'm, you know, in front of my church? I'm going to look like an idiot, right? Look like a fit of some kind. And then finally he got the message and said, okay, God, if I look like an absolute fool, if it will help your people, then go ahead and do it. The fits stopped and revival broke out, not just in his church, but in his town. In his town. Because he was willing to put himself lower. Jesus is trying to raise up a people that really do look like him. Jesus took last place to give the Father first place. Did you know it? He laid aside his glory, his heavenly glory, to be made of no reputation. He could have come as a king, but no, he came as a baby. Didn't even get born in a nice place. Because he didn't want people to go, oh, I get it, you're the king. He wanted people to seek him. You know, it's the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the glory of kings to seek it out. God wants people who love him enough to keep picking at it till they find the secret truth. God has secrets he wants to reveal, but he won't knock on your door and say, I have a secret I want to reveal. He just won't. He loves the people who are hungry enough where they say, I don't care how many times I have to come. I have made a plan in my 20s. I will come for the rest of my life. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what you have to do to me. I don't care what it takes. I want your presence with me. I had met somebody that was a carrier of the glory, but never took it. You understand? You may not, if you don't understand, a carrier of the glory carries the presence of the king in such a way that everything in the room changes. Sick bodies are healed. When God releases his presence, we see people healed. We had somebody healed a few years ago here, just walked into the worship and was healed of a 60-year born with spina bifida. Sat in here. We didn't even know what happened. We didn't even know. But the presence healed her. She sat and felt her back shifting. Is someone here that knows that story? It was Kat Shea's friend. They went back to their unit, and Kat, are you here? Okay. Those of you know her, she's a masseuse. She had been massaging this lady, and they'd been praying 30 years for a healing. She walked in the door and met the presence, and the presence started moving. She said she felt her back shifting. Her back shifted into complete alignment for the first time in her whole life. And then God said, I'm going to work on your neck tomorrow. See, his presence changes things. It changes hearts. It heals people. It makes broken people whole. His presence is healing. It is goodness. It is wisdom. It is mercy. It is grace. So what if you could change your life, your heart, your mind, your soul, every part of you? What needs to change? Everything. Everything. So to me, once I met somebody, I saw somebody, I knew them, and I knew they carried something that I had never seen anywhere, and I said, I'll pay any price for that. I don't care about houses. I don't care about jobs. I don't care about money. I don't care about anything, but that for me is the pearl of great price. I will pay any price for that. And I said to God, I don't care what it takes. And I knew innately, I knew that if you're allowed to release the presence or release the glory, you're never allowed to touch it or think you did anything right. Because you have to be developed into somebody that knows down to your deepest bone you never did anything right. And that God uses you in spite of you, not because of you. Right? And we can honestly say that. I can honestly say I was there, and it was not a pretty sight. I was not a good person. I was not a night person. I was not a good Christian. I did everything imaginable wrong. Except this, I loved him enough. He gave me a hunger. So there's people in here, not everybody. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Others are burning. There's a burning going on in you. And you're saying, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that. God is saying, I want it for you. Did I not say you are the house of God? What is the purpose of the house of God? It's to house the presence. See, I think that Christians hear that and they go, okay, you know, you're the house of God. Don't drink Coke. Don't smoke. Okay. But remember that in that day, remember who that was written to. People that knew about the house of God when the glory filled the temple. And the presence came so strong that that priest could not stand to minister. Could it be that house he's talking about? There's some of you in here, you have not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to get it tonight. There's people in here, you've been filled, but you haven't yet got your prayer language. You're going to get it tonight. God is releasing things in this place. Because, see, he wants to equip you. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and comes in you to equip you. We couldn't do anything we do. You can't do anything of power without the Holy Ghost. It's not possible. Our flesh doesn't contain miracles. Our great ideas and doctrine, that doesn't get it. He does. He's the living power, the Most High. What if you could develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit where you came so close to him that if you're going down the street and he says, wait, you stop. You say, oh, but I look stupid. You just stop. He's, go back in that doorway. He's done it to me. He made me stop my car. Shy. This is back when I was shy. Stop my car at Wheaton College, which Wheaton, you know, if any of you know about Wheaton College, it's the College of Billy Graham. Very formal, very well-educated, you know, not so big maybe on the gifts. He makes me park my car and get out and give words to people. I mean, I had to, I'll tell you, I was shy. It was not my favorite thing. I got out of the car, and this little girl, she looked like a kid to me, she's about 18, coming down her sidewalk with her notebooks, you know. I said, excuse me, this might seem strange to you, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to stop my car and tell you I began to talk about her calling. These big, giant tears came down her face. She said, I've been asking God to tell me what I'm called to do. See, now I've never seen her again. I wouldn't know if I did see her. But what just happened? What's going on behind the scenes? The Spirit of God is interacting with his child. Doesn't matter who gave the word. That doesn't matter in heaven. Doesn't matter. What matters is God interacted with somebody. I bet you there's people that their whole life changed because somebody gave them one word 10 years ago. My life changed when a total stranger, didn't know her name, wouldn't know if I saw her. She came up to me and she said, there's something wrong with your back. And I thought, nah. She said, did you fall off a horse when you were a kid? I went, uh-oh. Uh-oh, because I did. And my back healed wrong. My back went like this, straight and then way off, and it was crooked. Nobody knew it, not even my family, not my parents, not anybody. When she said that, I said, you can do anything. She said, can I pray for you? I'm thinking, you can do anything you want. Here was the big prayer. You know the big prayer was? She went to me like this. Jesus, that was a prayer. And my spine was straightened perfectly. Perfectly. I didn't feel fire. I didn't feel goosebumps. I didn't feel heat. But my back was straightened perfectly. And I thought, there's something going on. Yeah. Yeah. When a total stranger gets a secret from God that has that kind of, first it tells me how much God loves us. Yeah. God cares about this. I wasn't even talking to him about it. I wasn't even asking him about it. But you know what I thought? I want that gift. I want to help people the way that lady helped me. It changed my life. Because of her, I sought the Lord for word of knowledge. Because of her. She doesn't even know it. She wouldn't know me if she saw me. And we've seen, I mean, I'm not tooting the horn. I'm just telling you, thousands of lives changed through words of knowledge. Because of that lady. You don't know who you're having an impact on. That's why the gifts of the Spirit are so important. And it's important to grow in them enough to be able to discern the difference between the Holy Spirit and your own soul, okay? Prophesying from your own soul won't help people, okay? But if you walk with him and talk with him and grow with him and move in it, you'll begin to discern the difference between your thoughts and his thoughts, his voice and your voice. Okay, it says that the Bible says, by reason of use, we learn to discern good from evil. By reason of use. So you know the old joke in our ministry. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, 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 right? You grow in it. Don't just expect to be perfect overnight. It's okay if you make a mistake. God does not fall off the throne. And he's not mad, but he wants us to grow, and he wants us to care about accuracy. Okay? This was not the message I came to preach this afternoon. I thought we were going somewhere else. I'm just going to wait to see if there's other things. I believe that he's going to unplug some things from some of you. He's going to heal some hearts before you leave here. Some of you are going to have a healed heart. This is a strange thing to say, but some of you are going to have a healed history. And why is that a big deal? Because if your history isn't healed in your own heart, sometimes it can own you. And instead of looking at life like, here's these great things God has promised me, you start to feel like this is how it's always been. Every time I do this, that happens. Every time, blah, 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 blah. And you start to expect and have faith for the bad thing to happen because that's your history. Okay? God actually wants to cut, in fact, right now I cut off that past that has tormented or haunted or made you feel like it could never be for me because I've always had this history or this is how it always is for me. I break that off of you. In the name of Jesus, I see God healing memories that haunt. Some of you still remember when you were abused. Satan throws it in your face. There's a person in here you were abused and you've tried and tried to forget it and move on, but Satan throws this like picture of something that happened. You hear words, you see things, and that is a demonic lie. I break it off of you forever in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every word curse that was spoken over your lives. There were things spoken over you that you've tried to break, you've tried to get out of, and God says, not Holly says, God says no more. That is not who you are. And that is not what I said about you. I see him lifting off words that limited you, made you feel less, made you feel like you could never be the one to accomplish. I see him lifting off labels. Some people were stuck with a label in school. They called you a certain name. And it's stuck, and you actually, instead of fighting it, you kind of just, oh, well, I guess that's what it's like. No, 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 no. Here's your label, son of God, daughter of God. Able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's your label. Beloved, that's your label. Accepted in the beloved. Unlimited, that's your label. That's the label God has given you in his word. And I'm going to tell you something. God is stripping labels and lies and filters. Hurts. I see him taking hurts. He's just doing it. You know, he's just doing it. He's just doing it right now. I see people being unraveled right now. There's some of you, you've spent some time. I'll say it that way. You've spent some time. You know who you are. You've spent some time. And certain things came on you during that time. And they tried to stick on you. But God says, no, you didn't just get out. I'm bringing you out. I'm bringing you out of those things that came upon you, those habits, those ideas, those filters, you know. I'm bringing you out of that, and I'm peeling that off of you. You're not going to have to live that way. You're not going to have to think that way. I'm giving you a new mind. I'm giving you new thoughts. I'm going to help you to think new thoughts. There's someone in here, you have cycle thinking, cycle, 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 cycle. It's like you get stuck in this cyclical thinking, and the enemy just uses it to beat you. Every time it goes around, bash, 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 you know? God says, no, 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 no more. He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captive free, and I saw him just gently pulling that out, that cycle of thinking. It's not true. It came from when you were very young, but it's not true. And God said, I never meant that for you. I never wanted that for you, my beloved. Some of you have felt not loved by God. You felt outside. Even when you're in a group of Christians, you felt like, I don't think it means me. I've never measured up. You know why you believe that? Because that's what you were told, and it is a big, fat lie. And God says, I'm exposing that thing. And I'm pulling that lie out of you once and for all. You've made steps, you've made progress, but God says, I will not have you believe those things about yourself anymore. I will not have it. You're mine. And by the way, he says, I'm proud of you. I'm not ashamed of you, and I'm not mad at you. You're mine, and I'm proud of you. And I don't make junk. I don't make mistakes. I don't make people who are substandard. That is a lie from the enemy that has tried to throw your past in your face. Throw it back. Throw it back. Say, I'm not listening to that anymore. That's who I used to be, but that's not who I am now. Haven't you heard? I'm recreated. Haven't you heard? God has made me victorious. Haven't you heard, devil? I'm more than a conqueror. It is you that is the liar. It is you that is the father of lies. It is you that should be banished. I will not accept your lies against me anymore. I'm going to have us do a proclamation. Some of you don't need to. Some of you have been through much healing. You've already dealt with this. But there's a lot of people in here need to do some stuff. As I've been talking, you may have become aware of a lie. You may have thought something all your life, and you only recently became aware it's not true. It's not what God says about you. And it's not pleasing to God for you to believe it. It's not religious. It's not holy. God doesn't want that for you. Now, I can't name it because it'll be different for different people, okay? But we're going to get rid of that thing, because you can only keep a lie by a choice, and you can only get rid of a lie by a choice. So if you want rid of that lie, I'm going to have you say this. And I'm just going to ask us all to say it for the sake of our brethren, okay? I'm going to have you say, Lord Jesus, today I realize that I have believed some lies. Today I renounce those lies. I refuse to believe that about myself. I refuse to be limited by the devil. Devil, take your lies and get out. Get out of my life. Get out of my future. And get out of my thoughts. Soul, I speak to you. Believe the truth of God's word. Father, from this day, I choose to believe your word, which says that I'm more than a conqueror. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That you will never leave me nor forsake me. That I am your beloved. In Jesus' name. Now let me tell you what just happened in the spirit. Whether you know it or not, that's a legal transaction in the spirit. And legally, you just took authority over the lie. You slammed the door on an inroad that the devil had. He can't get through. Now, there may be other lies. So I taught you that because God will want you to. Sometimes you may be just waking up and go, hey, wait, I believed a lie. All my life, I thought this was true. It's not true. Make the proclamation. Say, Lord, I see it. That's a lie. I renounce it. Slam the door in the devil's face. Now, God had me have you speak to your soul. Some of you might thought, that's not scriptural. Oh, yeah? You know what David said? Why so downcast, oh, my soul? Put your hope in God. He spoke to his soul. You know how I learned that? I was praying with somebody, and I made them speak to their mind, will, and emotions, and I thought, oh, that wasn't scriptural. God said, excuse me. Pardon me, but it is. The last part where you say, from this day, Lord, I choose, what you just did was open the door through faith to the blessings of heaven that God has destined for you, okay? So whenever you find out that you've been believing a lie, and I'll be honest with you, I've had hundreds I've had to overcome. Hundreds of lies. And the more you overcome, the easier it gets to walk in victory. It gets real easy because you don't have a problem believing. Because you can begin to realize and believe who you really are. And not take the bashing, you know?